SCR.
And have a conversation offline.
Don't have to buy the car if you can't.
Sydney's arts and culture show.
Flat Earth Society had this big conspiracy theory about
arts.
These kind of false idols.
On 2SCR 107.3.
Good morning and welcome to Carve, your weekly exploration into all things arts and culture right here in Sydney. My name is Sally and I'm joined in the studio by my co-host Lofty.
Morning Sal, and good morning to all of our lovely, lovely listeners on this Saturday morning. Before we start the show, we'd like to acknowledge the Gadigal people who are the traditional custodians of this land from where we are broadcasting. And we'd also like to pay respect to the elders past, present and emerging of the Eora Nation. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
In some arts news, the 2021 Archibald Prize winners was announced yesterday and the exhibition is officially open to the public. Maybe you're checking it out this weekend. Peter Wegner's painting of Guy Warren got the Archie, Naya Panyapa Yunupinu won the win, and Georgia Spain won the Sulman.
We've got a jam-packed show for you guys today. I'll be chatting to theatre director Hayden Tanazzi about Significant Other, which opened on Wednesday at the New Theatre. Ellen will be chatting with Danny Paradiso, co-curator of group exhibition Metamures, which opens at Gaffer Gallery next week. But first up, we'll be having some live music from Anso to pleasure your ear holes right after these announcements.
Photographers 5, Macquarie University Art Gallery, May 3rd to June 18th. The latest exhibition at Macquarie University Art Gallery displays the work of 5 photographers. Through powerful images, the artists explore powerful formalist aesthetics, social, cultural realism, political intent, and critical discourses expressing a humanist reverence. Gallery hours, Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. For associated events, see artgallery.mq.edu.au. Macquarie University Art Gallery is a proud sponsor of 2SER. Sydney never sounded so good. Vivid Live at Sydney Opera House has Sampa the Great, Golden Features, Hermitude, G Flip, Flight Facilities, Hiatus Coyote, Kashmir Cat, Genesis Owusu, Blessed, Angie McMahon, Briggs, Conan Moccasin, Gordy, Methyl Ethyl, Budgera, RVG, Tiny Ruins, Gareth Lydiard, Jim White, Chris Abrahams, Georgia Mack, Clipso, and so much more. This August 6th to 28th. Book now at sydneyoperahouse.com/vividlive. 2SER sponsors.
Our Carve Live performer Anso joins us live in the studio to sculpt sound for you this morning. Anso is performing tonight at Seymour Nights at the Seymour Centre in the warm and intimate surrounds of the Sound Lounge. This is part of Seymour Nights initiative, which boasts 6 concerts and a diverse repertoire of new music presented by Musica Viva, Ensemble Offspring, Squabber Logic and Sydney Conservatorium of Music. Anso, welcome to Carve. What's your first track called?
Hi, my first track is called Chang Hwa Soon. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for coming.
Oh,
Thank you so much. That was Chang Hwa Soon. I'll be performing another track called Diaspora. I'll play my last track, which is an unreleased one. It is called I Saw You in My Dream Last Night.
Awesome.
Ha, 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 ha.
용기가 필요한 건 지금에서 일어나야 하는 건지 시간이 흐를수록 더더갈 수 없는 내 마음 나좀 일으켜줄 사람이 없는 거지 이럴 생각이 너무 많아서 불명증도 생겼네 날 헷갈리게 만드는 날 두근거리는 심장 담배 한 기술 냄새 날 헷갈리게 만드네 난 또 나쁜 놈이 되고 모든 것이 무너질 때 머릿속이 어지러워 질 때까지 달려보는 거야 Asking for the pain Taking the road with nothing to gain Now 왜 어떻게 끝났지 하면서도 어려운 길을 택하는 건지 Here we go again Round and round the merry-go-round 내 머릿속이 어지러워 질 때까지 달려보는 거야 Asking for the pain Taking the road with nothing to gain Now 왜 어떻게 끝났지 하면서도 어려운 길을 택하는 건지 널 어젯밤 꿈속에서 봤지 용기가 많은 나의 모습 너무나 어색한 나의 미소 꿈을 꿨더니 알아챈 고통과 나의 아픔 내 자신을 속이고 있었다는 게 믿기지 않을 정도로 이룰 생각이 너무 많아서 불명증도 생겼네 날 헷갈리게 만드는 너무나 면역해진 나의 마음 담배 한 기술 냄새 날 그립게 만드네 이제 난 나밖에 필요 없는 걸 처음으로 알았을 때 Here we go again Round and round the merry-go-round 내 머릿속이 어지러워질 때까지 달려보는 거야 Asking for the pain Taking the road and nothing to gain Now, 어떻게 끝날지 하면서도 어려운 길을 택하는 건지 Here we go again, round and round the merry-go-round 내 머릿속이 어지러워질 때까지 달려보는 거야 Asking for the pain, taking the road with nothing to gain Now, 왜 어떻게 끝날지 하면서도 어려운 길을 택하는 건지
Well, that last track. Mm. Oh my God.
Damn.
We were dancing in the studio.
Oh, yes.
Always a boogie.
Save the banger.
Save the banger for
Just
last.
Just as you've got us moving.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much for joining Carve Live, Anso.
Thank you so much for having me.
And you're singing in Korean, but you flip between English and Korean.
I do. Yeah, I do that a lot.
Mm.
I think more recently I've been trying to write. A lot in Korean. Google Translate's been very helpful.
Oh, really?
Wow.
So is it, it doesn't come naturally to you?
I do speak Korean, a lot of my vocabulary is very, not very good.
Yeah, so, okay.
Like, hey, Mom, I didn't say this again.
So what are you singing about?
My first track, Changhwasun, which is actually my grandmother's name, it's kind of romanticizing what life would have been like if I grew up in Korea.
Wow.
Going to my grandmother's house every weekend. And yeah, it's just a song to kind of, yeah, just romanticize, really.
So your grandmother, does she live in Korea?
She does. She lives in Busan. And some of the vocals that you heard in the track, they were my grandmother's.
Wow.
Yeah.
So does she sing...
I think so. I just asked her to send me a video of her singing and she's like, how do I do that?
Wow.
Yeah. Awesome. And obviously pandemic, but have you been to Korea much and did you visit her? Or you're more like lusting over this childhood that you might have had if you lived in the same country as her?
Yes, I moved to Australia when I was like one, so I've never really lived there. But I did go a couple years back in like 2017. It was my first time in 9 years.
Wow.
So it was very special.
Mm. Yeah. You sound so beautiful and there's a lot going on in your music. I wanted you to describe to our listeners what's this machine that you're using and how are you making this?
Yeah, so I'm using a TC Helicon Voice Live Touch 2. That's a very long name. but pretty much I am manipulating my vocals live, just putting some effects on there. So I use the delay a lot. There's like this like chipmunky wah kind of effect that I use as well. And yeah, so I use this as well as live looping on this device. But I don't actually use it for my composing in the studio. I use it more in the live setting.
Cool.
But yes, in the production side of things, I love to collect field recordings, just recording stuff on my phone.
Awesome. Because on your Instagram, you describe yourself as a sound sculptor.
Yes.
As if you're... Yeah. Oh, hey, no shame. And no shade. That's awesome. And yeah, that's totally such a nice way of visualizing exactly what you do. You bring all these different parts together and then form something beautiful out of it.
Yeah, I've definitely had a lot of inspiration from artists that use vocals as an instrument and really, yeah, just as you said, sculpting the sound.
Yeah. And you're performing tonight at Seymour Nights?
I am.
Mm, and on Tuesday?
Yes, Tuesday I'm performing on the Opera House Monumental Steps.
Yeah, so there's like a winter solstice.
Yeah, Badugili Winter Nights. Very excited. It'll be very cold.
Yeah, bring your puffer jackets, people. Yes. And you recently released your EP, Farrago of Emotions.
I did, yes.
What's next? Do you have anything else coming out?
I do have a single coming out in July, end of July. It is called So Damn Loud.
When can we hear the unreleased merry-go-round? Is that coming out soon?
I don't know.
TBC.
Well, yeah, keep your eyes peeled.
Always leave them wanting more. Yeah. Well, guys, you can catch Anso tonight, as we said, at Seymour Nights at the Seymour Centre. Tickets are $25. She's also performing at Badugili Winter at the Sydney Opera House to celebrate the winter solstice this Tuesday, the 8th of June. Don't go anywhere. Up next, Ellen chats with Danny Paradiso about Metamores at Gaffer Gallery.
Thanks so much for having me.
Tell you how to write the words without the paper. Take my ego for a drive, leave it out at the 110 sign. In the kitchen after five, in the hallway before nine. And if it wasn't for the time, I'm not afraid to die.
Storybox is a clean energy digital cube made for storytelling in outdoor spaces. With a residency in Darling Square until June 30, Storybox invites storytellers and future dreamers to share their imaginary vision of a Sydney that has learnt to care for people and planet. Share your vision in less than 100 words and see your words light up on Storybox. For more information, go to storybox.co/climatefutures. Storybox sponsors 2SER.
Ever wanted to try your hand at being a detective? Solve a few murders? Death of the Reader is diving into interactive fiction so you can put your own eyes on the case and see how you stack up to Sherlock. Sundays at 9 p.m, Thursdays at 7:30 p.m, or on any of your favourite podcast apps, it's time to crack open your computer and solve a crime. Your Murder Mystery World Tour, here on 2SER 107.3.
You're listening to Carve on 2SER. Up the top there, you heard Booster Seat by Spacey Jane. I actually went and saw those guys on Tuesday night at the Enmore Theatre. It was so good to be in a full stand-up gig, packed out, and Spacey, they killed it. I think they're just such a good live band. So check them out when they're next in Sydney. Anyway, this week, Ellen sat down with Danny Paradiso, the co-curator of Metamores, which opens at Gaffer Gallery next week. Danny's practice explores femininity, capitalism, and consumerism using cute and pink aesthetics. Here are Danny and Ellen.
Danny, thank you for joining us on Carve today.
Thank you for having me.
Danny, you've co-curated the exhibition Metamores. So tell us, what exactly is a metamore?
So a metamore is this, it's the non-romantic partner in like an open or polyamorous relationship. So it's the, so basically you're dating somebody, and that somebody is also dating another person, but you and that other person have no romantic relationship with each other, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Totally. So what does that relationship typically look like?
So I guess like a lot of people, it looks a bit different for everybody, but people tend to find that they're not very close with that other person, or they don't really tend to have much of a connection, but that's dependent, but that tends to be the most common. In my experience, I became very, very close with my metamore, if you will, and she's actually the co-curator of this exhibition.
No way.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So were you chatting one day and you're like, let's make an exhibition about our relationship, or the type of relationship that we're in?
Well, we kind of like, so throughout the relationship that we were in, so me and my metamore, Hannah, we became very close in that relationship, and we just found ourselves hanging out together without the romantic partner there because we just got along so, so well. Then post both of us breaking up with that person, we still maintained our connection, and then we saw Gaffer was accepting proposals, and we were like, our relationship is so interesting and so, quotation marks, strange. We should talk about it. Like, I feel like this is something that we can make art about, that we can express, and that especially because I feel like the non-romantic connections in polyamory and open relationships don't necessarily get as much airtime as what just the romantic would. So it was something that's very, very special to us that we wanted to kind of just express in an artistic way.
Amazing. And yeah, back to, you know, polygamous relationships. Why do you think these non-monogamous relationships are still met with confusion or hostility even?
I think because a lot of the time people don't know how to do them. And so people tend to have bad experiences with them. I think because we are such a monogamous society, we don't really have I guess not a lot of people want to listen to what it actually can be and what it means. I mean, even myself, like before knowing more about open relationships and whatnot, like I was like, oh, they never work. They never work, never. And it wasn't until like I remember years ago speaking to somebody who was in one, and they were like, yeah, but how many monogamous relationships don't work?
100%.
Like,
yeah.
So many monogamous relationships also don't work. Like, there's no right way to have a romantic relationship. There's just different ways. And I think, like, that's the beauty of exploring open relationships and, you know, non-monogamy is like, because like there's no set way to exist with another person. Like, and I think that was really important, really good for me, and also taught me quite a lot. I think it's definitely not for everybody. And like, it's one of those things. I'm like, would I do it again? Like, I'm like, I think I definitely like would always be open to it depending on the other person. And I thankfully had mostly quite a good experience. But yeah, I think it's just about, but there needs to be more media out there about it and about how to do it correctly, because otherwise people will have negative experiences if there's not that communication and that trust, which I think tends to happen.
Yeah, I feel like it's, I mean, in my experience, it's quite removed from pop culture. Like, yeah, you don't see it. Oh, I don't see it.
And whenever you do see it, there's a lot of negative representation. And especially with the Metalmore. The Metalmore always gets this really crappy light of, like, you know, the other girl or the other, like, you know what I mean? Or this point of, like, competition, or, and there's this, like, jealousy that you're meant to feel towards that person. Yeah, so my artwork that I've ended up putting into this exhibition is very much about unlearning my jealousy kind of demons and habits in a funny, silly way, how I've presented it, because once I let that go and I shed that, I was able to form this beautiful, nourishing, loving relationship with this beautiful girl called Hannah.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just so cool.
Yeah, and you're still, like, really close friends and you're working together now.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, fascinating. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so let's talk more about the exhibition. Which other artists are exhibiting in Metamores?
Yeah, so we've got a few other artists exhibiting. I've got my beautiful friend Lily, who was part of Create or Die, and she brilliant does a lot of, like, I believe they're doing some performance artwork for it as well, which will be very fun, very interesting. I love a bit of performance art. There's also Wendy Yu was recently doing the audio for Killing Kylie Jenner.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, cool.
Brilliant. Yeah. So very talented, very good artist. There's also Harriet Jane, who I got to go to SCA with, who's done, like, heaps of drag, heaps of has been in a few relationships themselves. And then also Mick Gray, who also they've done – yeah, they've also had a lot of experience. Like, also, all these artists, I should preface, have had some kind of experience with non-monogamy, whether it's ethical or non-ethical.
Right.
So there's also, our friend Ashling, who's does a lot of portraiture. They'll be speaking about their experience as well in regards to, like, the non-ethical side of it. Because, yeah, obviously, like, you can have non-monogamy in the, a.k.a. cheating.
Yeah.
not ideal, to say the least.
Not ideal at all.
No. But, yeah.
Stellar lineup. Yeah.
Very good lineup. I'm so excited. These are all people that I have watched their art grow for years and respect immensely. So getting to work with them and having them come together is like, oh, it's like so creme de la creme. All lovely. Love to see it. It's like yum, 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 yum.
I can't wait to see it either. Your work also covers pink or cute aesthetics. I mean, right now you're wearing a pink Playboy tracksuit, which looks amazing.
Thank you so much.
Can you talk to us a bit more about that way of thinking?
Yeah, pink and cute aesthetics. I suppose, like, for me, growing up, I think, and a lot of women, I think, have faced where growing up, you know, you're taught to enjoy pink and cute things. And then for some reason, at some point in your growing up, it's suddenly demonized. And you're like, if you like these things, you're weaker, you're lesser than. People don't listen to you. I think that's the thing. And even now, like, a lot of the time people will, I can see myself, even just in general, not being listened to because I'm a bit more femme presenting, because I like cute things, and I'll see myself getting talked over. I'll see myself kind of being, like, made light of in a way, in a big way. Like, I'll talk about this very sweet moment I had with my boyfriend, actually.
Yeah.
Where, so I really like Sanrio, which is, you know, Hello Kitty and all those cutesy characters. And in the past, when I've talked about that, those sorts of interests, it's kind of been made fun of or been made to be like a silly little Danny thing, rather than just like this valid thing that I'm interested in and look into.
Yeah.
And I was out with my boyfriend and we were looking at this really cute shop and there was all these like cutesy characters and everything, Sanrio characters there, and he was asking me all about my interests. Like, he was asking me, so your favorite characters, who are they, what are they, what do they do, and asking me all these questions. And I was like, I kind of was like ready to go, like I was like arced up with like the hairs on my back, like I was like, all right, I'm gonna have to like talk about why my interests are valid, and like, you know what I mean, like I was kind of ready to get on the defensive and be like, yeah, I know it's dumb but it's cool and I love it, you know? and I kind of was like, why do you want to know about this, like what are you doing? Like, what do you want to know? And he was just like, oh, because it's important to you.
Aww.
And I was like,
what a sweetie.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. You know what I mean? But it was so funny because I'm so used to being invalidated on those interests. And I think people just want to immediately infantilize you for liking pink and cute things. And it's just like, it doesn't need to be this thing just for children. Like, there is a power and a strength to these aesthetics. And I guess that's what I try to bring to my work. And every time I present anything is because it's just like, yeah, I wear pink. Yes, I'm, quotation marks, cute. But I'm also strong and powerful and a boss. You know what I want to say. A boss.
An intelligent woman here on Carve Today. Danny, thank you so much for joining us today in the studio. It's
thank
been
you
great
so
having
much.
You.
Thanks for having me.
That was Ellen speaking with Danny Paradiso, co-curator of Metamores, which opens at GAFA next week. You can follow Danny's work on her Instagram at sweet_baby_princess and catch her at the exhibition opening next Saturday, the 12th of June from 3 to 5pm. See you there.
cleaning, in hygiene.
The end of financial year is approaching fast. Remember to make your tax-deductible donation to 2SER before June 30 so that you can claim it back. Head to 2SER.com now and follow the links to donate to 2SER before June 30. Thanks for supporting 2SER. Find your
paradise. With live music in Sydney returning to full bloom, the band's next door returns to the Botany View Hotel on June 5 with three top-tier acts. Come swoon in the Crystal Lagoon with Tilda, Indie Comrades of the South End Rainbows, and Emo Goth's Snape. Doors from 7:30 p.m. and free entry all night. Get down early to secure your spot. Proudly presented by 2SER and the Botany View Hotel.
Significant Other is currently making its Australian premiere at New Theatre in Newtown. It opened on Wednesday and it runs until June 26, and I'm so thrilled to be joined in the studio now by the show's director, Hayden Tanazzi. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on board.
No worries. This show, what's it all about?
Significant Other is a comedy drama about Jordan Berman, a late 20s Jewish gay male who is learning to live with loneliness. He has three best girlfriends, and basically one by one, they all get married off. And he's in this desperate sort of, I guess, journey to find love, just watches his girlfriends find love throughout the show and is sort of, you know, it's all structured around the first dance at a wedding. We have three weddings in the show and, you know, they all start together at this first wedding, dancing, having fun, joking around, enjoying their first friend's wedding. And then by the end, he's left there alone. And it sort of just captures this really cool contemporary journey about what it means to be queer and what the difference is between heteronormative love and queer love. Yeah,
totally. Do you at all relate to the internal struggles of the protagonist, Jordan Berman?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I think that's the first thing. Yeah. The first thing when I read the script, it's hilarious. It's sort of like it's full of wit and sort of this like dry humor that really captures this like awesome queer character. And, you know, the first half I'm like laughing and having fun. I'm like, oh, this is a really fun script. And then you get into the second act of it and it's like, oh, okay. Mm. Okay. Yeah. I see where this is going. And then by the end, you're like, shit. Like, it's just like this hit hard. This hit really hard because I guess that's the thing, like, queer love is, like, we're in such a different world at the moment with, like, online dating and, you know, casual dating, and there's, like, everyone's looking for the perfect person. Mm. I was having this conversation with a queer friend of mine the other day. Casual dating years ago just seemed to be, like, you could go on a couple of dates and be like, yeah, no, it's fine, like, it's not working out, but, like, this was a fun couple of days. But now, like, before you even meet someone, it's sort of like, are you the perfect person for me to live the rest of my life with? Mm. And it's like, whoa, like, we just upped the stakes hugely. So, like, yeah, no, it's a great script to read and just sort of experience that idea of learning to live alone and being comfortable with that, which is what Jordan goes through in the play.
Sure. The show definitely has a lot of room for comedy. I think before the show you were describing it to me as just an out loud Broadway comedy. But it clearly does also have a lot of very real themes. And as a director, how do you make sure that those very real themes are still coming through to the audience and not just being shadowed by all the big laughs?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a great question because, like, the scenes are so fast-paced. And when I first sort of was describing the show to the cast, I was saying how each scene just needs to go boom, 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 and we're just, like, constantly going from place to place and journey to journey. And then it's all about just, like, stopping that action for a second. If you've got 20 minutes of fast-paced action, we're laughing, 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 and all of a sudden we'd have silence and sit with this character before he goes on this date as he analyzes, like, what if this doesn't go well? And then you just go straight back into it. And that's the thing. It's about like hitting it really hard and fast and fun. And then all of a sudden the audience is going, oh, what's that glimpse of loneliness? And at the end, we get to sit in this final song as he sings to the audience his first dance. And then it's the final announcement of the show that goes, okay, now join us or join all the happy couples on the dance floor for this final dance. And we get to sit in this extended sort of like 2-minute song of him just watching everyone dance and capturing what it means to be alone. Yeah.
Mm.
It's really cool.
Yeah. Do you think this show has potential to get a film adaptation?
Oh, I'm sure it's in there
somewhere. It seems to have that real romantic comedy vibe to it.
That's the thing. It just starts with this like really fun rom-com. Like you've got three best friends. Kiki, who's this like, as much as we hate stereotypes, she's the blonde. She's like fun. She's the first one to get married. And she just is absolutely raucous. And then you've got Vanessa, who's like, very dry, very like hates life and, you know, like thinks about her funeral. And then you've got like the best friend, Laura, who's like the support for Jordan throughout this. So it sits in this very like tropey stereotyped place. But then what Josh Harmon does with the writing, which is brilliant, is he actually dives into those characters. I think with movies these days, with rom-coms, you don't actually get to go into these characters. They just serve a function for the narrative. And it's like, cool, cool, cool. This is nice. But like, it's not very sophisticated, but Josh then actually allows us to sit in the scenes with these people and makes it a really complex story from all perspectives. Like, it's not just Jordan's journey. Each girlfriend has a reflection on Jordan's love life and their own love life. And what I've done with this production is made sure that before each wedding, we get a moment with each one of the females just to show their perspective on Jordan's relationship in regards to this wedding. And so, yeah, I think absolutely a film adaptation could be fantastic. It'd be loads of fun. And if they're looking for a director, I'm here. But it's very much like that. And I think that's the really cool thing about it is that it's such an accessible piece. It really hits home for a lot of people. And although it might be about a queer guy, everyone goes through this experience of being alone and like not being able to find love. So it definitely is something. There's something in it for all audiences, regardless of whether you're queer, straight, whatever.
Yeah. Is it encouraging as a queer director to be seeing all theatres, both main stage and independent, telling more and more queer stories in different ways as well? Like, I feel like with this one, it's very relatable, I guess, no matter who you are. And everyone kind of can relate to the struggles in some way. And the comedy is there to really get it connecting with any audience.
Yeah.
Fun Home was just on an STC. You recently were down in Melbourne at La Mama doing this Genuine Moment. So, yeah, is it cool to see, I guess, more and more variety of queer stories being told?
Yeah, I think the variety is great and also in different forms. Like, I'm really loving, like, not just being, like, text-based stuff. There's musicals, there's dance pieces that are all exploring queer love. I was having a joke with a queer writer, a friend of mine, the other day. Like, it's also really nice to not be programmed in a Mardi Gras slot. Like, it's great for these stories to now sit outside of, like, here's the token gay show each year and actually, like, bring this, you know, like, let's have a Christmas queer story. Let's have a mid-June queer story because actually they have a lot of relevance and we don't need to be tokenistic about programming anymore. Because, like, these stories really hit home for different people. And it's the same with Fun Home. Like, what a brilliant piece of theatre that everyone took something away from, regardless of whether you're queer or not. So, yeah, it's really exciting, and I hope the programming continues to just keep diversifying so we're not looking at it in terms of, like, programming seasons and festivals, but just, like, we have this awesome intersection of pieces throughout the year.
Mm. In the rehearsal process and also, I guess, in the short time that you guys have been on the stage performing, has there been any moments that have stood out to you amongst the cast or amongst the crew?
Yeah, well, I mean, the first one was we actually had to recast the lead role about 2.5 weeks ago because our first guy got a big feature film in Perth, which is like fantastic, like jump at that opportunity. But we all went, oh my God, this role is huge. It's like a 90-minute non-stop play. The lead guy doesn't leave the stage and he has like maybe 10 pages of monologues as well. And it happened whilst I was in Melbourne as well. So we'd done 3 weeks of rehearsals before I went down to Melbourne, done that pre-work. So when we got back, it'd all be fine and dandy and we'd just like put the piece up. And then this all happened, which was an exciting opportunity for everyone because we got to like re-look at who Jordan was, find Tom Rudgers, who's fantastic in this role. And, you know, it created a really exciting challenge in the rehearsal room to like, we've done that pre-work and we know what the show is, but now let's find this with Tom in the lead role. Let's make these relationships unique so that we can build this show around Tom. And so one of the big changes that we did make was I met Tom in NIDA during his musical theatre course there. And so the script indicates that the last dancers or the three dancers throughout the show should just be him watching this dance. But there's some lines in there that talk about musical performances at this wedding. And so I took Tom's singing ability and got him to sing each one of these first dances as like the gift of his best friend to these girlfriends. And it's just added this whole other dimension of having to watch your best friends be happy whilst you're alone, whilst performing these songs on stage. And it creates that real conflict between, like, I'm trying to do my job here singing this song, but also I'm feeling a lot right now. So it's a really cool dynamic to play with Tom, and he's just done such a great job.
Absolutely. Well, Hayden, thank you so much for coming in. Good luck with the rest of the season. And so far, it looks like reviews have been good.
Yeah, reviews are great. Getting some really awesome responses from audiences of all ages. So, yeah, we're on till the 26th, and I think we're on sort of Thursday to Sunday. So tickets are $25, I think, if you use the code FRIENDS at the checkout.
Oh,
so,
there you go.
Yeah, jump on. There's your special little discount code.
Newtheatre.org.au is the place to go to get tickets. Is there anywhere that you'd like to plug personally, anywhere people can follow you?
Oh, yeah.
Instagram,
I mean,
or otherwise.
Chuck me a follow on Instagram if you want to check out my work. yeah, Hayden Tanazzi on Instagram, and you can follow that journey.
Cool. Thanks so much for coming in, Hayden.
Thanks, Lockie.
Welcome to The Beer Kitchen. I'm Rebecca Rosenfunk.
And I am Yemi the Cat, cooking up some beats for your enjoyment every Sunday afternoon.
We've got lots of tasty treats in store for you, from soul funk disco
to hip-hop house and some global beats.
Join us on Sundays from 5 p.m.
for The Beer Kitchen on 2SER 107.3.
See you in the kitchen.
Thanks for carving out time on your Saturday morning for some arts and culture. As always, we'll put links to everything we've covered on today's show on our website, 2ser.com/carve-arts. We're still accepting submissions for Carve Live, so please email us at carve.artsandculture@2ser.com. Now you can go, Lockie.
Sorry for interrupting you there, Sally. To take us out today, we've got Tasteless Faces by our Carve Live performer, and so see you next week, guys. Bye.
Spine has more lumps than a sugar jar in a lunch shed.